Greetings and welcome to the second segment of this three-part interview series with Dr. Ike on the topic of DBT for adolescents. In this section, Dr. Ike explores the following skill sets in relation to the adolescent population: distress tolerance, emotion regulation, and interpersonal effectiveness. When teaching distress tolerance, Dr. Ike recommends first helping adolescents stabilize their acute symptoms through concrete, practical crisis management skills before attempting to teach more abstract DBT concepts. When teaching emotion regulation to this population, Dr. Ike recommends a focus on physical self-care, mindfulness of emotions, and opposite action. When teaching interpersonal effectiveness to adolescents, Dr. Ike recommends a strong focus on boundary setting. For example, boundaries with peers, boundaries with social media, and boundaries with emotions. In particular, the Dear Man skill can be used for assertiveness, the Give skill for maintaining relationships, and the Fast skill for self-respect. When I think of adolescence, especially now more than ever, I think of the need to cope with so many stressors and so many triggers that our young people face. So where do you even start when teaching skills like distress tolerance or emotion regulation to this population?
I think that the distress tolerance skills can be a really lovely place to start, particularly the first half of that module, which is really about crisis management. I think that that's a really nice place to start because those skills are things like wise mind accepts, which is all about distraction, self-soothe, improve the moment, try skills that help you be able to make this moment a little bit better. They're very concrete, easy to understand and apply in the moment. And I think that that is often a really helpful place to start in terms of coping because it doesn't require a lot of brain power to know, okay, it helps me to take a break from my stressor. It helps me to distract. And then the job is really figuring out how are they going to do that. I think that those crisis survival skills can be a really helpful place to start when it comes to coping. When you progress with somebody through DBT, your first goal is stability. Your first goal is to really help them feel like they have skills to be able to manage their triggers, to be able to manage when their emotions escalate, because they can't do a whole lot unless they have a little bit more control over how intense their emotions get. And so I think those crisis survival skills are a really lovely foundation for helping them be able to do that. The balance to find there, though, is that you don't want them to be stuck in avoidance. You don't want that stability to just simply be about distracting from whatever is stressing them out or triggering their intense emotions. And I think that's where the rest of the distress tolerance and some of the emotional regulation skills can really be helpful. So once you sort of have a foundation where you feel like your teenager has an understanding of how to cope with their triggers and their intense emotions, then I think talking about things like acceptance, radical acceptance, can be huge. Huge for anybody, but particularly teenagers. When we think about radical acceptance is all about accepting what is, and then being mindful enough to refocus your time and attention. Radical acceptance, in the way that I teach it, is very similar to the Serenity Prayer, right? Of accept what you cannot change so that you can focus your time and energy on what you can. And that is a game changer for so many people and so important for teenagers because although teenagers have an increasing amount of independence, they have an increasing amount of responsibility, there's also still a lot that they don't have control over in their lives. They don't have control over when school starts and ends. They don't have control over the homework that they get. They don't have control over their parents and the rules or regulations that may exist in their home. Although they have more independence and freedom, they still are subject to a lot of things that they don't have control over. And for many of my teenagers, those things that they don't have control over are very distressing to them. Radical acceptance is such a game changer for them because you have to accept all of these things that are uncomfortable and that you don't like and that sometimes you think are really unfair so that you can free yourself from wasting your time and energy trying to change them because most of them, they can't be changed. And so then it's about refocusing your time and attention on what do you have control over. Early in my experience in teaching DBT to teenagers, I had this one teenager where that was a life changer for her, that her mom had a lot of her own stuff going on. I think mom had quite a few mental illnesses that were not being treated, and she just constantly felt invalidated by her mom. And a focus early for her in treatment was, how do I get my mom to just understand this? How can I get my mom off my back? How can I get her to just leave me alone sometimes? there is such a deep desire in her to have things from her mom that her mom just couldn't give her in that moment. And so radical acceptance for her was a big deal because it was, I've done everything that I can think of to try to inspire those changes in my mom, and it's not going to happen. That desire doesn't go away and it's still painful. But when you let go of trying to make something exist that you have no control over, you feel a bit more free. And that was definitely the case for her. She didn't all of a sudden have a magical relationship with her mom where she felt close to her, but she felt more accepting of her mom and more patient in her mom's presence. They got in conflicts a little bit less. And she now could put all of that energy that she was putting into trying to change her mom into other things that brought her fulfillment and other relationships that could give her a few more of those pieces that she wasn't getting from her mom. I'm going on a tangent here, but radical acceptance. I think once clients have this foundation of stability that they know how to cope with things, a really nice second focus there is in the second part of our distress tolerance module, which really is about working on radical acceptance.
That's great. So you mentioned the crisis management skills, you mentioned radical acceptance. How about anything specific to emotion regulation?
Emotion regulation is huge too. An initial focus in emotional regulation can be just simple basic self-care. I like to work with my teenagers around the basics like, how are you sleeping? How are you eating? Are you moving your body sometimes? Basic self-care things, and then looking at what are the barriers to that and how can we chip away at that so that your self-care is more taken care of, because that when you're more physically taken care of, you're more resistant to intense emotions as well. And then beyond that, I think that in mid to later stages of treatment, the goal of emotional regulation is to really help clients allow themselves to just simply feel their emotions. To feel them, but also not feel like their whole world needs to be taken over by that emotion, which is where skills like mindfulness of emotions and opposite to emotion can become really helpful. Mindfulness of emotions is just simply allowing your emotion to exist. You're not pushing it away and you're not over-focusing on it. You're just letting yourself feel. And then opposite to emotion says, although you're feeling the emotion, don't let it determine your decisions. Don't let it create actions for you, that you can still have control over how you behave, even though you're allowing intense emotion.
I remember also teaching that skill. We called it opposite action, or sometimes acting opposite. Mm-hmm. And I loved teaching that to adolescents, especially the ones that were oppositional defiant. Mm-hmm. And what I would explain to them is, look, you are already really good at doing the opposite. We just need to apply that concept to your urges. Mm-hmm. You can do this with... Yeah. Everything else in your life right now, why don't we apply this concept to your urges? And,
right,
and of course, exactly. That's not so easy, right? Easier said than done. But at least they already had the concept down of going against the grain, so to speak.
Absolutely.
So another stereotype I think of when I think of adolescence is interpersonal conflict, maybe a lack of social skills that are still kind of emerging. How do you teach interpersonal effectiveness?
Ooh, that's a big question. I think that one of the themes that I find throughout teaching our interpersonally effectiveness skills are boundaries. Boundaries with teenagers can be so important. As an adolescent, relationships are so much more important than they used to be, that most teenagers are just very relationship focused. They spend a lot of time thinking about and being with their friends. And so I think that boundaries can be really important, and boundaries in all aspects of relationships. As we teach the interpersonal effectiveness skills of dear man for assertiveness, give for keeping your relationships healthy, and fast for having self-respect in relationships, as we're teaching those skills throughout the module, I talk about boundaries of what are the boundaries in terms of what you share with somebody. A common struggle that some of my teenagers get in is I confided in somebody and then they told everybody everything. And so therefore I can't ever trust anybody again. And then they don't open up very much, which means that they feel fairly isolated in their relationships. So helping them be able to find a boundary, of course, then your reaction after being hurt like that is to withdraw and not share anything to anybody. And how is that serving you? Maybe there is a little bit more middle ground that we can find in terms of establishing boundaries of what you share with other people. Boundaries in terms of social media can be really helpful to talk about, of what are you comfortable posting or not posting? How are you comfortable being talked to or talking to others? What are the rules of the road for you in terms of social media? And then a doozy is emotional boundaries, helping teenagers recognize that you can be very close to and connected to your friends or your partner, and yet feel differently than them, that they could be not okay and you could still be okay, or you could not be okay and they could still be okay. Having those emotional boundaries where you don't have to take on the emotions of other people and you don't have to caretake other people's emotions. How do you apply interpersonal effectiveness to this population? Probably similarly to how you would apply it to others, with a real emphasis and constant conversation on boundaries.
I know interpersonal relationships was difficult enough when I was a teenager, and I can't imagine factoring in social media on top of all that.
It's a pro and a con for sure.
There are three main points from this section. First, when teaching distress tolerance to adolescents, it is helpful to first stabilize acute symptoms through concrete, practical crisis management skills, such as distraction, self-soothing, and improving the moment, before teaching more abstract concepts, such as radical acceptance. Second, when teaching emotion regulation to adolescents, it is helpful to focus on physical self-care, mindfulness of emotions, and opposite action. Physical self-care helps clients understand how eating, sleeping, exercise, and symptoms all affect mood states. Mindfulness of emotions helps clients learn to allow their emotions instead of trying to avoid or escape them. And opposite action helps clients learn healthier ways of acting on problematic urges. And third, when teaching interpersonal effectiveness to adolescents, it is helpful to use the Dear Man skill for assertiveness, the Give skill for maintaining relationships, and the Fast skill for self-respect. Interpersonal effectiveness especially needs to focus on boundary setting. For example, boundaries with peers, boundaries with social media, and boundaries with emotions.